the community in Boca, and I visited there and was very, very impressed and very well received. And it's a mutual relationship already by now. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who are there know me in other contexts. In Bli Ayin Hara, we have the opportunity to share Divrei Torah, and that's very special. Actually, this idea of sharing Divrei Torah at this point is, I don't mean in the coronavirus, I mean at this point in the calendar, is really very, very important and very special. I'd like to share a thought with you, which has been on my mind for a very long time, but I didn't have a chance to concretize it until I prepared for this year. So for that, I give everyone a Yasher Koyach, and especially Rav Simi. You know, there is in the calendar a structure which goes far beyond how to calculate and organize the year so that things fit into place, that Pesach is in the springtime and so on. There's something very special about the very precise organization of the events of the calendar and the transition from month to month. One of the Sfarim that talks about these ideas is the Bnei Yisoscha, the Chassidish Sefer. But I would like to venture into this on my own. I'd like to see what can we do about the transition from Av to Elul, specifically those 2 months. So, of course, Av Be'ikar is Menachem Av. It's a month that requires Nechama, but also a month that provides Nechama. Because you see, the remarkable thing about Av is that there's a change in the middle of the month, and particularly in Tuba Av. Layoyo yomim toivim li Yisrael kechamish asa ba'av u'kiyom ha'kipur. And you know, it's an interesting thing. Besides the actual event itself, which is the parish of Shiduchim, but symbolically, it has a tremendous thing to say about the Shiduchim between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you see, each one of these girls tries to suggest why she deserves the Shiduch. So the one that has Yichus offers her Yichus. The one that has beauty offers her beauty, and so on. What about the one that doesn't have anything to offer? There isn't any particular mila that distinguishes her. So, kichu mekchachem l'shem shamayim, u'bevad she'ta'atrunu zuhuvin. Such a beautiful expression. No matter who this girl is, you're going to marry her, she wants you to adorn her with golden and silver. The imagery here is l'gabi klal Yisrael n'ribon Hashem, because that's always been expressed as a shidduch. Always. And the Rebbe Shlom says by Marbet Har Sinai, which is the Torah is called a ksuba, and this is a chasana, a shidduch, a zivug, va'atem tiyu li, mamleches kain v'gur kodesh. Interesting that Chodesh Elul, in the Rashi Tevis that everybody is so familiar with, ani l'dodi v'dodi li, again the same li. There's something about the kesher that starts in the middle of Chodesh Av. So we have to think about that for a minute. And what's valuable is that we go back to Megillas Eicha. I'm not the first one to discover that there's something very paradoxical about Megillas Eicha in its very structure. Why is it paradoxical? If a person is seized with the trauma of grief, grief is voiceless. It doesn't have the capacity for vocabulary, and certainly not for poetry. Poetry comes long after, when you have a chance to relieve yourself of the grief, and you are no longer caught in the trauma of grief, and you're reminiscing about something that once was, then you can be poetic about it. But in the throes of grief, in the etzem tsar and yogoin of the avelus, it's impossible to be poetic because your thoughts are helter-skelter, your heart is shattered, your mind is completely obsessed with the loss, and you really can't think about anything. And the nekuda of Megillas Eicha, that it's in the Aleph Beis, and by the way, it's not just the Aleph Beis. There's so much going on there that is poetic. You know, Rabosi Om. Rabosi The Yud after Rabosi is completely unnecessary, so to speak. But it's typical of poetry. You know, there are more poetic sections in Tanakh and less poetic sections. Rabosi, ha'ir Rabosi yom, sarosi ba'medinas. What is this Yud? Because the whole of Megillas Eicha has poetic structure. The mere fact that someone thinks in terms of putting something into an aleph beis, instead of the introit, you know, chaotic, completely formless expression, is itself telling. It's very telling. But I would like to suggest something that's even more powerful. We have, after we finish the Megillah at night, to some extent, in the daytime even more so, what we call kinos. The Megillah Secha is also, by the way, called kinos in many places. We have kinos. Who is the mainstay of kinos, the most famous machaber of the kinos? Rabbi Lezer HaKaliri. And we don't know very much about him or even exactly when he lived. But one thing we know about him, that he was one of the most creative and incredibly structurally creative, particularly structurally creative, payitonim poets that we have had in our entire liturgy. And as a consequence, what Rabbi Lezer HaKaliri does is he establishes himself into literally straitjackets of poetic form. He straitjackets himself. It has to be the third word of the fourth kapitel, and everything has to follow a certain pattern, and his name has to be in it as well. And by the time you're finished with everyone who imitates him, until you get to the Tzions, when Yehuda HaLevi has a completely different approach, which is more like the approach of the Eben Ezra and others. Eben Ezra was very critical of HaKaliri. He said, why do you have to be so complicated, amongst other times that he has? He says, you're creating your own language, you're using your own forms. He's very, very distressed. But my question has nothing to do with Rabbi Lezer HaKaliri, if he's talking about Shabbos and Yontif and Shavuos and Pesach. Fine, you want to be, you want to prove your genius, you want to show the incredible capacity of the human creativity, that's wonderful. But kinos? Kinos means you're crying. You're crying. So when a person cries, he cries with a structure, with a pattern. Ad kedei kach, that you have to include all kinds of esoteric midrashim and use remuzim and sidus within a structure. To the point where you take your average Jew, and without the Torah of the Rav and all of the translations that we have and now all the footnotes that we have, he wouldn't have the slightest idea of what he's talking about even. Why? Why not make it simple and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, like, Bitzeisim in Mitzrayim, Bitzeisim in Yerushalayim. That's a beautiful kino which everyone can understand. When I came out of Mitzrayim, everything was wonderful, and now I'm coming out of Yerushalayim and everything is miserable. And that's it. But if you read a piyut of Rebbe Lezer HaKaliri, you don't know Ben Yamin or Ismaila. You don't know from the beginning to the end of it, unless you're taught. So it turns out that the kino of Rebbe Lezer HaKaliri is more of a not a wail and not a cry and not even a musa shmus. You know what it is? It's a very complicated sugi on Baba Kama. So why? Why did he do that? Why do we tolerate it? We don't just tolerate it. It became the main kinos for the Ashkenazim. So what's the pshat? I think the answer is very simple. And it also harks back to the question that I asked about the Aleph Beis and some other things. There's something called mourning and there's something called depression. Mourning is a way of coping, but it's not just coping. The Jew had to accomplish something. Klal Yisrael had to accomplish something. Chachameinu Zichronu Livracha had to accomplish something. You know what they had to accomplish? How do you live your life as an Eved Hashem after the Churban, while at the same time understanding the consequences of Churban and the need to do tshuva? And that idea that you have to consistently and continually until the Geula Shleima remember the Churban. You have a Chazal. Kol shalai nivne beis hamikdash v'yomav kilu nechram v'yomav. But you have another Chazal, which seems to be almost the opposite. Not the opposite, a stira, but two sides of a pole. Kol misha misabel al Yerushalayim zoicha v'roya b'simchasa. Whoever mourns for Jerusalem merits to see in its joy, in its redemption, in the joyous moments of its redemption. Zoicha v'roya b'simchasa, in its joy. And of course, you could ask a simple question about that very phrase. Many people who are tremendous tzaddikim and unbelievable Jews, and they mourned for the Churban, and they did not live to see the Simcha of Yerushalayim, Sisui Tamasos, Kol HaMisavlim Aleha. And the answer to that question is that I don't believe that Chazal meant at all that he's going to necessarily merit to see the Geula in his day. It meant that he merits the Geula of a Dor of Churban. He merits the Geula of a Dor of Hester Panim. He merits the redemption of his own time. And that's because mourning for the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash became a part of our calendrical worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It became a necessary component to be a proper Eved Hashem. And everything that allows you to be an Eved Hashem is a source of joy. It's a very remarkable thing. Tisha B'Av has this transition. All of a sudden, by Chatzos, you can sit on a chair and you can write letters. And there's a kind of mitigation of the morning. Although you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't put on shoes. But there's already something. That's an extraordinary idea. Because the middle of Tisha B'Av, not only that, the Beis HaMikdash is still burning on the 10th. And on the 10th, there really isn't a serious Avelos anymore. And nobody's fasting. If something is happening on Tisha B'Av itself. Something is happening in the Megillas Eicha. Something is happening in the Piyutim of Rebbe Elazar HaKalir. And I'll tell you, Rebbe Elazar HaKalir hit upon an incredible idea. As long as we have the complexity of the Torah, and as long as we have Chazal and Midrashim, and as long as we have this instinct that we have to figure things out and we have to understand things deeper, even if it has to do with mourning and grief, then we are saved. Because the Torah in the end is the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. You know, we could not have survived without the Torah. A remarkable pasuk in Megillas Eicha. Remarkable pasuk. The pasuk says, Kumi roini balaylo l'rosh ha-shmuros. Shifchi kamayim libech nochach pnei Hashem. Rise up and sing, Roni, Rina, in the middle of the night. And then pour out your heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if somebody would ask, what's that pasuk about, Kipshuto? The answer is the pasuk is telling me that a person who's in grief should cry out his heart in mourning. If you want to go one step further and deeper, you could say, use this opportunity to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When things are really bad, when things are rough, you still can cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do Chazal do with this pasuk? Kumi roni balayla is a proof that a person's ikar learning is at night. The pasuk is about learning Torah. It's incredible. Ein rina shel Torah ela balayla. There's something they identify as rina shel Torah. I don't think they mean that when a person is learning, he sings a niggun. That's not Rina Shel Torah. The learning is Rina Shel Torah. A certain kind of learning. What kind of learning? What do we mean when we say Ein Rina Shel Torah Ela Balayla? So I'll tell you. People who work during the day, they have suddenly an opportunity to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a joyous thing. The learning connects them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His work doesn't connect them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is learning all day, that's his obligation. Learns deep into the night, that's beyond his obligation. That's Rina Shel Torah. Torah becomes a song. And if that pasuk were anywhere else, in Tehillim and Shir HaShirim would be perfect. Shir HaShirim, wow. How did it end up in Megillas Eicha? The teretz is we all understand that as long as we have connection to the Torah, as long as we learn the Torah, we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an ultimate sort of way. And that's the only way we can survive Churban. But it's not just that we survive Churban, it's that we have the privilege and opportunity to constantly reflect upon the Churban and relive the Churban. But reliving the Churban became a part of our lives. It's very hard because you can't find an analogy to that anywhere else. You know, this Shabbos, by sheer coincidence, of course, on the calendar, happens to be the yard site of 9/11. Now, they commemorate 9/11. But there's nothing in 9/11 that gives them a chius itself. They live their lives. People are busy with all kinds of things now, mostly with corona. But there has to be a moment of commemoration, like the moment, you know, the minute of silence, or the reading out of the names. And then you go on with your life. But Chazal had this incredible thing. They took the mourning itself and made it a part of the tapestry of Avodas Hashem. So that it turns out that remembering the Churban is Zoicha V'roya B'Simchosa, because that is a critical component after the Churban, until the Geula, of our Avodas Hashem. A very incredible idea. So the things that are happening on Tisha B'Av would at first seem to be contradictory. The use of Aleph Beis and Eicha, the fact that it has poetic structure, the idea of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir's Piyutim, the changes and transformations that take place in Tisha B'Av itself, it all makes sense. It all makes sense because at the same time that we are reliving the Churban, we've outlasted the Churban. We survived because we are a different kind of Jew after the Churban, who took and incorporated the Churban in the corpus of his Avodas Hashem. It's like you know this very overused expression: you take lemons and turn it into lemonade. But this is really what's happening with Tisha B'Av, and what's remarkable about Tisha B'Av is that in the Megillah itself, there is a fantastic transition. And that transition takes place in the third kapitel, the third perek of Eicha. The beginning of the third perek is very desperate. Let me read to you a couple of those psukim, just a couple. The pasuk says, Ani agevera ani choshech v'loy or, Bila Besori Veori Bona Life Ayakav, the Machshakim Hoshivani Kemeseel Makadosh Baruch Hu placed me like the dead of the world in the deepest darkness. I mean, you can't be more depressing than that. There's nothing more melancholy than that. The Machshakim Hoshivani. I'm in total darkness. And there's a very interesting pasuk here, which is a pasuk lahalocha. The Rambam tells us this in Hilchos Tshuva, that if a person is filled with sin, then his davening, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes his tefillahs and he tears them up. And it does not allow that the tefillahs should go up to the Kisei HaKavod, to Shamayim. And there's a pasuk that says so in this third chapter of Eicha. Gam ki ezak va'ashaveya, even when I cry out, sosam Tefilasi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has closed off my prayer. He has shut me out. You can't get more depressing than that. I have nowhere to go. I'm in the midst of darkness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shut me out. Guess what happens? Pasuk Chof Aleph, Zos Ashiv El Libi, this I will contemplate, I will muse, and Alkeinu Yechil, and that's why I have hope. Chazdei Hashem ki lo yisamnu ki lo yicholu rachamav. In the middle of Eicha, there's a redemption. A person starts out thinking in every grief, in every avelus, that it's hopeless. He's lost it all. If the avel comes back after the funeral, after the cemetery, house is exactly the same as the day before. exactly the same as the day before. And then you take a look, and it's not the same at all, because the person in your life is missing. I mean, it's really very, very frightening. Come out of that into a feeling that not only is there hope, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never, ever abandon us. And I think that that's why the transition from Av to Elul is so obvious. Because you see, a person filled with chet is also in Avelus. It's a traumatic thing to be filled with sin the moment that you discover it, the moment that you acknowledge it. You know, by the chet ha'egel, at the beginning, in the midst of that chet, they were jumping and dancing as the pasuk describes. But you know what happened when they discovered their error? And when they discovered the horror of what they have done, it says vayisabolu. They were in avelus. It doesn't just say that they had regret. It says that they were in mourning. You know what they were in grief and mourning about? Their neshama. The debacle of their lives. The tremendous failure, which is really a tremendous loss. They lost the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it says that when they were at that moment, before the Chet HaEgel, they were on the highest possible human level. Is that not an unbelievable loss? But you see, that kind of loss, if it was irretrievable, if it was irreconcilable, then would be that. That's it. That's the end. The jig is up. That kind of mourning, which tears your heart out and doesn't allow you to continue. Now, in regular grief, in regular mourning, there's a mechanism within us that heals and repairs. Some of it has to do with forgetting. In Yiddishkeit, the exact opposite is true, which is really fascinating. The repair for Klal Yisrael is not to forget. Not to forget. We constantly remind ourselves of the Churban. And listen to this. Averos that a person was misvada b'Yom Kippur Zeh, he's mechuyav, even though he did tshuva, to be misvada again and again and again. Why? Because in Yiddishkeit, that is the serious and very, very charming, with Asacha, serious and charming tool for our redemption. We incorporate. What greater incorporation can there be by a tshuva gemura that the zedonos becomes the chuyos? Turns out that the person who did zedonos is better off than a regular Jew. Paradoxically. Of course, it's not a method. It's not a derech to be like that. But if you do that, because you know why? First of all, you're not supposed to do the averus. You're not allowed. But even if you did, who says that the tshuva will reach that level? But the idea that zedonos can become zechuyos, yesh kona olomo b'shah achas, there's something about sin and the catharsis of sin that requires you to fall back and think about that and contemplate it again and again and again. And it's not because you may do it, so you should be sharp and alert and remind yourselves where you were once so you won't do it again. It's not just that. It's that the process of tshuva that you did, that al-chet shechatanu that you did, is actually strengthening you and giving you the koyach to be a better Jew. So remembering and repeating that I did this and I'm chewing tshuva for it and I'm having charata over it is an extremely constructive act. Just like remembering the Churban is an extremely constructive act. And not just because you won't do the things that brought to the Churban. It itself is constructive. It became halacha. Very remarkable. And I just want to mention a very interesting thing. Very interesting. The last pasuk in Megillas Eichot. The last pasuk. I want to talk about a connection between Av and Elul. The last pasuk of Eicha, we repeat Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuva. You know why? Because the last pasuk seems to be extremely depressing. It speaks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu having anger at us and contempt for us. Ki im ma'os ma'astonu katzavto leinu ad miyot. You had contempt for us and you were very angry at us. But Chazal came up with a very, very fascinating idea. Amar Rish Lakish, im me'isa ein tikva. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly had contempt for us, then there would be no hope. But in ketzef, if it's just anger, not contempt, but anger, yesh tikvah, there's hope. Why? Because kol hakoes sofo l'nisratzos. Sooner or later, there'll be a reconciliation. Anger can have a reconciliation. Contempt, it's finished. All the civilizations of the world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu simply abandoned them to the dustbins of history. But you know what happened to Klal Yisrael? They get smacked and smacked and smacked and smacked. Again and again and again. So it's very terrible, isn't it? Comes along Rish Lakish and says, the biggest proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Because if you have contempt, then it's not worth bothering with you anymore. But look in Tshuva, B'chol Yom Achakelo. Ibn Shalom says, Im Yoshuv Miyat Tekablo. That's what we say in the Piyut. The person does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for the person to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smack you and smack you and smack you, but he's still yours. It's amazing. And that is exactly what's going on in Chodesh Elul's Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. That phrase is from Shir HaShirim. But the idea of that phrase, and this I can't stay a whole night, I suppose, because we could go on with this for many, many hours. But I want to share with you a final thought. If you open up a Chumash to Parshas Kisavo, right after, towards the beginning, right after the Parsha of Havos, Bikurim, Kisachal, La'aser, so we come to a Pasuk. And that Pasuk is in Perik Chavav, beginning Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin, it says, Hayoyim Azeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos Es hachukim ha'elev es hamishpotim. Today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to do all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'shamar tov v'asisa osam v'chol levav v'chol v'chol nashakot. You should do it with all your heart and all your might, and your heart, your soul, everything. You should give all your koyach to it. And then it says the following. And the psukim are very remarkable in their reciprocity. It's ani l'dodi. Fidodili. What's the ani l'dodi? I am for my beloved. I am for Hashem. What does it mean I am for Hashem? I commit myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I commit myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my master, he's my God. I will follow him all the way, and I will fulfill everything he asks of me. Es Hashem he'amarto hayom lios l'chol elokim. Hashem is going to be for you a God, v'lalechas bedrochav, to go in his ways, v'lishmar chukav u'mitzvosav u'mishpatav, to fulfill all of the varieties of commandments, v'lishmoa b'kolo, and to heed his voice. That's what we do for Hashem. Ani l'dodi. What's v'dodi li? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us? Hashem he'amircha hayom. Hashem also committed himself to you today. Leo slowly am segula, to be a treasured nation, kasher diber loch. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that Bnei Yisrael will be a treasured nation? V'yisem lisgula mikol amim in Parshas Yisrael at Matan Torah. You will be my treasure from all the nations of the world. V'lishmar kol mitzvosav, and to keep all the mitzvahs. V'lisitcha elyon al kol agoyim, and to make you superior to all the nations of the world. All the nations that he created, but you'll be greater than them. L'tehilo, l'shem, l'tiferes. And you should be holy, a holy nation. So the Or HaChaim and others already noticed a very interesting point, that in the part where Hashem is committing himself to us, that we should be a treasured nation and we should be held on high and in great esteem, it says that we should keep all the commandments. Wait a minute, that's not what Hashem is doing for us. That's what we do for Hashem. And we already said it. So what's it doing over here? Hashem hamircha yom lios l'olam segula. It's good. L'sitcha elyon is good. But what's lishma kol mitzvosav? So he has his teretz, but I'd like to suggest a different teretz. I'd like to suggest that, you know, a person has a very expensive collection and it has to be transported from one place to another. He calls Brinks and he tells the Brinks people, listen, this thing is millions of dollars. I want you to be super careful. So you can't just get two shlemazels to drive the truck. It has to be very special people who are highly intelligent and very capable and really understand the contents that they have here and how important it is to arrive safely. I need good shomrim. And this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I cherish Bnei Yisrael. They are a treasured nation. I love them. I think they're the greatest. I make them on high. You know why? Because I gave them to be shomrim on the Torah. They're the ones who can keep the mitzvahs. They're the only ones I trust with taryag mitzvahs. The only ones I trust. That's the Dodi Li par excellence. So it's really remarkable. In the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why I beat you up? Because I know that our relationship is forever. So if it bothers me, it's worth my while, because maybe you'll change. And eventually you will surely change. So I beat you up. You know why I don't beat up all the goyim constantly? I just forget about them. Because I haven't chosen them to lishma kol mitzvosav. They are not my am segula. They are not my treasured nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every person a chance to do tshuva, including goyim. That's the whole idea of Ninveh on Yom Kippur that we learn in Megillas Yonah. Sefer Yonah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, it's good that you're in Avelus. Incorporate it in your life. Realize what chet is all about. And I will allow you that many chatoim, and I will never destroy you. I will allow you, Klal Yisrael, because I will punish you. Nothing is a freebie. Nothing is hefker. Kol Omer Shabrichu Vatran, Yivatru Meyoyu. Rabbeinu Shlomo is not a mevater. He's not a forgive and forget like that. But there are midas harachamim, and there is tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have a second chance. That the churban that you have leads to geula is not only a statement of Av, it's also a statement of Elul. And the yearning for Mashiach, the yearning that is integrated in our new avoda after the churban, is exactly the recipe for the individual's churban. And the transformation that takes place in him, that instead of just yearning for something, he takes matters into his own hands. And he fixes the churban in his own life by doing tshuva. The ani l'dodi v'dodi li has already been expressed in Chodesh Av. That's my point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you look carefully at churban, you see the geula. And that's Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'nashuva chadesh yomeinu kekeda. But what about the churban? What about golus? So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the proof that there's going to be a geula. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares so much that he keeps punishing us. And he doesn't let go. In Me'isa, if it's real contempt, there's no hope. How did he read that pasuk? Ki imos ma'astanu, if it looks sometimes, after Hitler it looked like that. It looks sometimes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply so disgusted with us that he's ready to relegate us to the bins of history also, to the ash heaps of history. But I have proof that it's not true. Katzafta aleinu ad miyod. Too much ketzef. Too much ketzef. Obviously, he hasn't abandoned us. And it's a beferish pasuk in the Chukosai. Right? Afgam zos biyosem be'eretz oyveihem, in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim with an ayin. I did not have such contempt and disgust for them, l'chalosim, to destroy them. U'lohafer b'risi itam. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows we're the only ones that are shayach to the parsha of Lishma Kol Mitzvosav. So that's the transition between Av and Elul. The churban that is incorporated in our renewed Avodas Hashem. The churban that is incorporated in our renewed tshuva to change ourselves. We take the past and we transform it. We incorporate it, we process it. It becomes not only something we can tolerate and survive with, but actually becomes a tool and an instrument for our improvement, for our transformation. As it's Hashem Yisbarach, it should be so mekuyam that all of that integration should lead to a matzav where Klal Yisrael is really worthy of the geula shleima, the mehera v'yomeinu amen.
You are unmuted.
Thank you very, very much, Rav Khan.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Ezes Hashem Yisbarach, halavai vayta. We will see you again soon enough.
Okay.
Looking forward. Have a good Shabbos.
You too. A good Shabbos to everyone.